ever go and spit on the grave of that man who saved you? Julie drew a picture today to help us as we work through this. Isn't she wonderful? Our 14-year-old little artist that helps us. Each week she draws something, and Julie, this is wonderful. I asked her, so this is the one who got saved, got pushed. There's the picture of being pushed. That's the man who saved him. And he's kneeling at the grave, and he's remembering in his mind that this man saved his life, pushed him out of the way of the truck. The just shall live by faith. He who by faith has been made righteous shall live. All right? Just one verse today, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. So you can remain seated. I'm going to share it in four different places in the Bible. Habakkuk 2, 4, New Living says, look at the proud. They trust in themselves, and their lives are crooked, but the righteous will live by their faithfulness to God. Romans 1, 17, this good news tells us how God made us right in His sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the Scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. Galatians 3:11. So it is clear that no one can be made right with God by trying to keep the law. For the Scriptures say it is through faith that a righteous person has life. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37 and 38. For in just a little while the coming one will come and not delay. And my righteous ones will live by faith. But I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. Have you ever tried to structure a sentence that doesn't really commit you, but it gives the other person hope? I'm kind of the king of that. I don't want to just squelch hope. I want to give people hope, even though sometimes it's false hope, and that's bad. But, okay, let me give you for instance. Let's say you've been invited to a party or an event, and you know you have no plans whatsoever to attend that party. So what you do is you use what's known as a weasel word. You ever heard of that? A weasel word. Yeah, you know, we'll probably be there, but we'll be a little bit late. Okay, the weasel word in this sentence is the word probably. Instead of making things very clear and very specific, we use weasel words to make things vague and to help us avoid actually being locked in or pinned down. Okay, now there's other weasel words like possibly or almost, relatively, seemingly, somewhat. If you receive a call one day in the near future from a salesman trying to get you to buy season tickets for either our Las Vegas Golden Knights or the Raiders, and they tell you this will possibly, undoubtedly be the year we bring home two world championships and you better not miss out. Well, friends, let me tell you, every year for every team and every sport is possibly, undoubtedly, the year that team's going to win it all. Theodore Roosevelt once said, weasel words from mollycoddles will never do when the day demands domestic clarity from great hearts. Manly men must emerge for this hour of trial. Now, because of political correctness and other influences, direct statements of truth like what President Roosevelt just said are in short supply. It's hard to come by something like that. In fact, President Roosevelt couldn't even make a statement like that today because he would be criticized for using the phrase manly men and mollycoddles. What we see in the book of Habakkuk, ladies and gentlemen, and really in all of the prophets, and really, in fact, in throughout the entire Word of God, you will not find in this book weasel words. The Bible speaks directly and clearly to man's sinfulness and our need for salvation. It warns us about hell. It's very direct. It's very powerful. It speaks to the remedy for sin, which is placing our full trust and faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible speaks boldly and directly. The Bible tells us very directly that God is love, but it also warns us that God is a jealous God who hates sin, and he will judge any person who dies in his sin apart from Jesus Christ. Habakkuk speaks very clearly and very directly from Yahweh about the judgment that is coming and the solution that each one of us have been given for standing in front of God on our own, which all of us will on the day of judgment. And here's the solution. The just shall live by faith. Now, by the way, in case you haven't seen it yet, those are the three life-changing words, the title of my message today. Three life-changing words: just, live, faith. In the past 2 weeks, we have been looking at the other two words. A couple weeks ago, the word live, the promise of life and salvation from God. We saw that when the righteous are surrounded by sin, when they're surrounded by soldiers, that's what happened to the people living in Habakkuk's day. He told them, no, the righteous are surrounded by salvation. And then last week we looked at the word faith and how in English the idea of faith and faithfulness are broken up and disjointed, but that the word in Hebrew joins both meanings so that the righteous lives by his faith / faithfulness. Same word in Hebrew, faith and faithfulness, same word. So today I want to look at that word. It's the third of the three life-changing words written in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, and elsewhere where we just read. And friends, this constitutes one of, if not the greatest doctrines of the entire Word of God. And remember, the words are live, faith, and today we're going to look at the word just. This is where the discussion of weasel words comes in, because of the word just, okay? Several ways to use it. You can use it as an adverb. You can use it as an adjective. Just a minute. Just below 2%. Just what I need. Three different ways to utilize the word just. But in today's text, just is an adjective describing someone who is morally right and who has integrity. Just, as an adverb, is used when people are stalling, like, oh, I'll be there in just a minute. Our waiter the other day, Pam and I, he said, oh, I'll be here in just a second. I said, 1,001? I was born a smart aleck. But the key is that just, as an adjective, is a word of majesty. It's a word of power. It's a word of simplicity. And in our verse today, the just shall live by his faith, it's referring to those who are morally pure. In the Old Testament, they're morally pure because they obey the Torah and they have faith in their coming Messiah. They were looking for the Messiah to come. In the New Testament, they're morally pure or just because they have believed in Jesus the Messiah and have received forgiveness from their sins. Is that you? Did I just describe you? A morally pure, just person simply because you have placed your trust and your faith in Jesus Christ. Now, this brings us to the other issue of this verse, and it's a confusion that is caused by the English translation, but it's absolutely clear in the Hebrew. And it's a Hebrew word I want to bring before you today. It's really a kind of a cool word to even say. It's spelled T-Z-A-D-I-K, and it's pronounced like the word exotic. It's tzadik. And it means just, it means righteous. The English sometimes translate the word, this word as righteous and other times as just, but in Hebrew it's always the same, tzadik. And it stands for the righteous person, the one who is morally pure, the one who is blameless in all of his or her ways. Tzadik is also the 18th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Its form at the beginning and in the middle of a word is like an X. Since the Jewish people have stories for everything, the story of the form of the tzadik is that it is the letter N, nun in Hebrew, N-U-N, covered over by the letter Y, a yod. And the nun, the N, represents deceit and fraud. Many people have the idea that the physical world is the ultimate source of truth and pleasure. But the yod covers the nun, and the yod represents God's will and God's intellect. So the righteous, the tzadik, are those who place the will and intellect of God above the false truths and pleasure of this world. That describes someone who is perfectly just, perfectly righteous. I want to show you a picture right now of a man, a Jewish man. The Jewish people think that there are certain ones who carry this tzadik. They're a righteous person. So they really do kind of think they're like Superman. So it's only adequate here that this guy's opening up his shirt and you see that's tzadik. That's the N and then the yod. The N and the Y, the nun and the yod, and together. And so both English words, just and righteous, are essential in order for us to understand this Hebrew word, tzadik. Now, just comes from the Latin word meaning law, and it has a legal background. Righteous comes from an Old English word that we got our word right, and has the sense of being correct and having great wisdom in living out that correctness. Just and righteous are both needed to define this one Hebrew word. Just means justification. The legal process of being declared innocent and being justified. When we are justified by Christ Jesus, we are declared legally innocent of our sins in God's heavenly courtroom. Can you even wait for that moment? Will you not be trembling as I will be when I stand before my living God and He's going to open the books on my life and I know what a mess I've made of my life and you know what a mess you've made of yours and everything you've ever said, done, thought? It's going to be opened up and exposed before the true and living God. We are all in trouble on that day unless you have been justified by faith. Because if you've been made righteous, if you've received the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that positive quality that Jesus possesses because He always did the will of God the Father, and He lived a life of compassion and mercy and humility and faithfulness. And friends, those are the very things that have been added to the account of people who have been made righteous through their faith in Jesus Christ. Wow, this is awesome. Those who have faith in Christ will never be deceived into believing that the physical world is our source of truth and pleasure. Jewish people, both in the Old Testament and today, as I was telling you earlier, they believe that there are these special righteous people on the earth. One of the beliefs in Judaism is that there are always 36 hidden, humble, righteous people who are here to sustain the world. In fact, if those 36 people were removed from the world, all chaos and hell would break loose. These people greet the Shekinah glory of God every morning. Now, how many of you believe that there's about 15 people who run the whole world? Part of the Illuminati, right? I don't know about that. I just don't know. But I do know that there are more than 36 righteous people in the world. I know that there are more than 36 righteous people in this room today, in this sanctuary, because every one of us who believe in Jesus Christ, we have been made righteous through the shed blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I hope and pray that you greet the Shekinah glory of God every morning. Wake up every morning. Oh, there it is. I'm in the presence of the living God. He dwells with me. That's what Shekinah means. Shekinah means to dwell. Yah means Yahweh. The dwelling place of Yahweh God is anywhere I go, because I have been justified by faith through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, the psalmist pointed this out long, long ago, Psalm 14:3. And then he's quoted by Paul in Romans 3:11. All have turned aside, together they have become corrupt. There's no one who does good, not even up to the number one. That's how it's written in the original Greek. Not even up to the number one. There's not one complete whole person other than Jesus who has ever walked on this planet and kept themselves completely whole and devoted to Jesus Christ, because we've all sinned, fallen short of His glory. Now, beginning with this very clear statement from David of man's sinfulness, Paul points out that there is no one righteous on his own. And although Paul had previously believed that he himself was righteous, after his vision of Jesus on the road to Damascus, he understood that all of men's righteousness is filthy rags. It's all spoiled. It's all rotten. The greatest thing any of us would ever go out and do by way of a righteous act on our own means nothing apart from Jesus Christ. Okay? It'll never be accepted until you come under the banner of Jesus. Why? Because of Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fall short. All have sinned and lack the glory of God. Now, the verse prior is where Paul lays out the solution to man's need for salvation and righteousness when he said, but it is a righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ unto everyone who believes. These pivotal verses in the letter to the Romans support the main theme of his letter that says in the original Greek in Romans 1:17, for the righteousness of God is being revealed in him who is rooted in faith and results in faith, just as it has been written, the just shall live by faith. So anyone who wants to stand before the living God has to stand there in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, or else they're in such trouble on that day. It's the righteousness that has been given to us that we receive by faith when we put our trust in Christ. Now, some may say, you know what, Pastor, I don't want to ever stand before God. Okay, that's fine, but you will. Because you're not bigger than God. You don't get to make that call. And God's word says that it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Every one of us is going to stand before God on judgment day. Now, there are different judgments, and I think you know about that. But just know this, everyone will be judged. There is a day of judgment coming. And if you believe in Jesus Christ, you get to stand boldly. Now, that's hard to imagine, that I'm going to stand there boldly. I want to. If I can stop thinking about all the stupid things I've said and done and sins that I've committed and sit there, if I don't sit there and go, oh, Jesus, 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 who's standing right beside me, I think he'll probably be going, you know, like if you're standing there with your defense lawyer, I think he'll lean over and go, relax, I got this. And I think we can be bold and we can stand there in the boldness of the righteousness of Jesus because we put our faith in him. And if you do not believe in Jesus Christ, you will be judged as guilty and unrighteous. I don't care how good of a life you lived. You will be judged guilty, guilty, guilty. And you will split hell wide open. And it doesn't need to happen. Put your faith in Jesus. Justified, just as if I never sinned. Why? Because I trusted Jesus Christ. So powerful. And you know, this theme is all the way through the Bible. It doesn't just go back to Habakkuk. It goes all the way to Genesis. And Abraham. And Abraham is letting us know all the way back in Genesis that the way to live is to have righteousness through faith in the living God. The Torah was never intended to provide salvation to men and women of the Old Testament. It was simply there as a teacher to lead them to put their faith in the coming Messiah. The first statement of righteousness through faith is Genesis 15, 5 and 6. In this experience, Yahweh brings Abraham outside, shows him a vision, says, look to the heavens, Abraham. Count the stars if you can. And that is going to be the number of your seed. Abraham, do you know who God's talking to here? Abraham, look at that. That's how many kids you're going to have. Abraham is 75 years old, and he and his wife Sarah still have a barren womb. And they have to wait 24 more years. Abraham's 99. Sarah's 90. And he says, look, you can't even count the stars, and that's how many seed, how many children, Abraham, you and Sarah will have. And you know what the Bible says? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Here, for the first time in the Bible, the equation of righteousness and being just is applied to someone simply on the basis of their faith. One of the misunderstandings people have is that faith and righteousness are the same thing. Faith is righteousness as if faith has some positive virtue or some kind of power on its own. Listen, friends, faith is not righteousness or being just. In fact, it's the exact opposite of righteousness and being just. Faith is a confession that we have no righteousness on our own and that we are powerless to work out our own salvation. Faith is a confession of dependence on Jesus Christ and in humility asking from him something which we could never create on our own. Just like Abraham couldn't even create one child, let alone the number of descendants, as many as the stars in the sky. Yet Abraham was not discouraged by his own impossibility. Why not? Because he placed his faith in the living God to perform the impossible. Please tell me this morning something that you still hope will happen, but today it seems impossible. Would you like to have an improved reputation? Anybody remember the scarlet letter? The letter that this woman had to wear because she'd been caught in adultery? Big letter A stood for adultery. But 20 years later, she was so kind, she was so generous, that all of the children who had been born after she had put that label on thought the A stood for angel. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ, He can help you change even your sullied reputation. Hallelujah. Friends, what do you do once you've come to faith in Christ? Now you just keep doing the next right thing. You just keep swimming, like Dory said in Nemo. You do it scared, but you do it anyway. The faith that results in righteousness is believing God at His promises and His word, regardless of how humanly and naturally impossible God's promise and word appear to be. You know, let's live like that. Come on, let's live like that. Let's live by faith. Let's believe in the impossible. All right? Right now, everybody, okay, this is just an exercise in faith. You ready? Just like pretend like there's no room to even move because so many people are here in our sanctuary. Okay? Because it's going to happen. Okay? So just think about it. Just think, wow, I wish I had a little more space here. Maybe I should come to the early service. Or maybe I should have come last night. Or, let's walk. Let's be people of faith. Let's be who we say we are. We are people of faith. Nothing is too hard for Yahweh God. The why, God's will, covers the end, the deceit and fraud of the world. Faith is believing. Nothing is too hard. Nothing is too wonderful. Nothing's too difficult for my God to accomplish. I want to live like that. I want to be like that. I want to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus. Abraham discovered righteousness through faith. David, the psalmist, came to this truth through a revelation of Yahweh, and talk about a sullied reputation. But even today, anybody in the world can tell you something about King David. God can help us, friends. We can live overcoming lives. Personal faith in Jesus Christ is an individual discovery. Each person has to put their own faith in Christ personally. I remember it like it was yesterday. I was 7 years old. I was in a church. My dad was pastoring in Dallas, Texas. I can take you there. And I can walk you to the place where I was sitting. When at 7 years old, it was kind of like right back there. And I'm 7 years old, and my dad came to that point, and I knew this. I knew it as a seven-year-old. And he said, you can't go to heaven just because your parents believe. You have to believe it for yourself. And I was the first one to respond to that altar call. It was the coolest thing, man. I knew I needed Jesus for myself. And you need Jesus for yourself. Quit trying to live by your accolades. Quit trying to be a good person on your own. It stinks in the nostrils of God. Just put your faith in Him. And then because you love Him and trust Him and know what He's done for you, you live the rest of your life out of gratitude. That's why we do good things. That's why we're full of compassion. That's why we're full of hope. That's why we care about the lost. That's why we feed the hungry. That's why we do what we do, ladies and gentlemen, because we're so grateful for all that He's done for us. Now, amazingly, let me just try to just move through this. You know, I believe I'm making the point, and I want to nail it for you. I want you today to understand that before Habakkuk, the idea of righteousness was considered to be a national idea. You know, Israel, they only thought of the nation as being holy, not themselves personally. But then what happened? Well, Judah gets captured. They go into Babylonian captivity, into God's judgment. And all of a sudden, all anybody can think about is their own personal righteousness. Habakkuk prophesies that each individual going into Babylon can make the outcome either one of a blessing or a curse. And it all depends on one thing. Have they put their faith in God? Have they put their trust in Yahweh? Now, this message is especially relevant for believers today as we continue to go through this crisis, this upheaval. We're tempted to give up on being faithful to God and His will, and we're tempted to believe the fraud and the deceit that's in our world. Christians, believe Jesus Christ today. He has all power and all authority, and He will protect you, and He will lead you into all truth. He will provide for you. You can trust Him. You can rely on Jesus because He always has been faithful, and He always will be faithful. People in this life can turn on you in one moment. You thought they were your friend walking with you to the house of God, and the next moment they're out there backstabbing you. Vic said something powerful in our prayer meeting this morning. We have a prayer meeting before we have church, and he prays us through the Word of God, and Harry does a beautiful job as well. We just have this beautiful time. And Vic said that he told this guy this week, he says, "Man, you bug me so much, I'm about to remove you out of my phone. I mean, I am not taking your calls anymore. But I'll tell you what, you just moved yourself to the top of my prayer list." That's what you do. That's what you do. The person that bugs you the most, you put them on the top of your prayer list. And you pray for them often. Well, here's the deal. Jesus will always defend you if you believe in Him. You don't have to defend yourself. He's our defense. He's our great advocate. He's our go-between. He's our mediator. Now, Paul was given the great wisdom to understand deeply the truth that the just shall live by faith. And he describes in detail the meaning of the just living by his faith/faithfulness in both the book of Romans and in the book of Galatians. Study it. Grasp it. Get a hold of it. It's the most important thing. You know, I've told you this story before, but it bears repeating. There was a lady who's dad got saved later in life, and he came to know Jesus about 9 months before he died, and he was so captured with the book of Romans. Anybody he saw, he asked him, "Hey, tell me all you know about the book of Romans." He died about 9 months after he was saved, and she was on her way to his funeral, and she got a call from a friend on the East Coast and one on the West Coast two different girlfriends, and they both told her the same thing. They said, "Hey, I know you're going to your dad's funeral. I just wanted to know if this would be meaningful to you. I had a dream last night that your dad is sitting with the Apostle Paul, and he's teaching him the book of Romans." I believe that stuff. I believe it. Get to know Romans. Get to know Galatians. To the person who has never placed their faith in Jesus Christ for salvation yet. Oh, my friends, Paul describes that there is both being just and being made righteous in the presence of God, our Heavenly Father. And both are necessary. And both are gifts through faith in Jesus. Now, as for being just, remember, no one can stand before God, who is the legal judge of all men, and be declared innocent. All men are guilty before God, guilty of all manner of sins. But just one sin means a person will be found guilty before God if you have not put your faith in Jesus Christ. Let's say you were arrested for stealing your neighbor's car, and you went before the judge, and he said, "Did you do that? Did you steal your neighbor's car?" And you said, "Yeah, I did, but judge, I didn't rob a bank. I didn't murder anybody." You know, it's like, as pastors, we've actually had men come in and say, "I don't beat my wife." Well, you're not supposed to beat your wife, for crying out loud. Give me a break. Anyway, but I didn't murder anybody. I didn't rob a bank. You know what the judge is going to say? "Okay, you're not guilty of those crimes. So I'm going to find you guilty of the crime you committed." And that's what God the Father is going to do. "But God, I was so good. I gave money to charity. I went out of my way. I one time I helped a little old lady across the street. God, I'm a good guy. You got to let me in." Well, okay, let's open the books. Did you ever tell this white lie right here? Did you ever slander? Did you ever, on and on and on and on. The list is going to go. Did you ever sit and listen to Pastor Randy preach and say, "Will he ever shut up?" Now, I don't know if that's a sin or not. Probably not. And I'm almost done. I'm not going to look to see if that was my wife who clapped. Here's the deal, all right? Joseph went to prison, and what happened? They put him in charge of the entire prison. So that anything that happened in that prison, Joseph was going to get the credit, and he was going to get the blame. Because why? Because Joseph was the doer of everything that happened in that prison. And it's the same way with Jesus, my friends. Jesus became the doer of all of our sins. Do you get that? Do you get that? Every sin. Think of the most heinous sin you've ever committed. And God the Father looked at Jesus on the cross and he saw that sin. And he said, "Jesus is the doer of that sin." And so he caused Jesus to suffer for that sin. Man, that's so powerful. Why, Jesus, why? Why would you suffer for my sins? I deserve death. I deserve separation from God. I deserve to go into eternity in hell because I'm a sinner. But you became the doer of my sins. Oh, that's so powerful. That is so powerful. Friends, it's time to rise above our fear and have faith in Jesus to lead and guide us through every problem we'll ever face because we can rest in the knowledge that I have been made righteous because I put my faith in Christ. So, stop focusing on your problems today and start focusing on the one who is powerful enough and wonderful enough to take care of every problem you face. Does anybody know today the name of the one who knows your problems but already has the answer to take care of all your problems? That's right. We've been talking about him all morning. His name is Jesus. Is anything too hard for him? Remember, all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to him. And he loves you with an indescribable and infinite love. So as you bow your head right now, close your eyes. I want you to go back to picturing yourself at the grave of that man who saved your life. Okay? Will you do that with me? Go back. You were on the road. A guy pushed you out of the way.